we gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this Sunday morning. Years ago, 47 men, women, and children felt a call from God. They felt a call from God to begin a Baptist church in a little community called Elon College. 71 years ago, 47 men and women and children felt a call from God in a church in at Brookwood Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. Feeling that call, they gathered together. They followed that call, and they joined together and started what was called Elon First Baptist Church. 71 years ago, that group of men and women followed a call and are the reason why we sit here today. Because of that call, we can say that we are blessed. And because of that call, we can say we continue to follow the call of God here at First Baptist Church of Elon. And we are blessed because as we gather here today on our 71st anniversary here at First Baptist Church of Elon, we have some of those original from 71 years ago, some of those original 47. So this morning as we begin a time of worship, I think it is no better fitting way to begin our time of worship of honoring some of those original 47 men and women and children who were there, who heard that call, who stepped up and said, let us begin, let us follow. So if you are one of those original 47 men and women and children who were there at that original call, I would ask at this time if you would please stand. So if those 47 men and women and children of those charter members, don't sit down yet. I know. I'm sorry. I should have said remain standing. On behalf of the many men and women, children who have followed in your footsteps for many years, who have been able to be blessed, who have sat in chairs and pews and multiple locations where First Baptist Church of Elon has been, we thank you for taking that step of faith. We thank you for being willing to listen to that call And we are honored to be able to say we continue to listen to how God is calling us. Now, I ask our congregation that are sitting here today, if you're willing to continue to follow the call that God has placed in the heart here at First Baptist Elon. And hopefully we'll be sitting here in 71 more years. So when we gather in 142 years for our 142 year celebration, hopefully some of us might be here. I know I won't. If you're willing to continue to follow that call in God's, will you stand? He was there 71 years ago, and he is still here today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and give God thanks for his presence with us this morning. Father, we thank you for your initial call to those 47 men and women and children who heard your call, who heard your voice. And I give you thanks for the many men and women and children since then who have heard your call, who have nurtured within these walls, who have grown faithfully, who have served you faithfully. Father, and we continue to hear your voice. We continue to follow how you lead us. And Father, the mission is still going on. That initial vision that you gave those men and women so many years ago continues to resonate within our spirits today. Father, may we continue to listen. May we continue to follow. May we continue to serve for many years to come. And that is why we are here today on our 71st anniversary here at First Baptist Elon, promising to follow you because that's who we are. We give you thanks this day of worship, this day of celebration. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a day of celebration here at First Baptist Elon. I always enjoy homecoming, and many people think I enjoy homecoming because I enjoy to eat. And I know you're all looking forward to joining us for our meal upstairs in the fellowship hall following worship today. We will not have any evening activity, so everybody enjoy a second dessert so you can go home and take a nap this afternoon. That is on my schedule, hopefully. We're going to get some rain today, it looks like. We've needed it for some time. So it should be a day of wonderful celebration here at First Baptist Elon. But the reason why I enjoy homecoming so much as I get to see some of the families and the friends joining back here at First Baptist Elon. So welcome those who are rejoining us And it's good to see some guests here with us. If this is your first time with us here at First Baptist Elon, thank you for joining us in worship today. If you want to fill out one of the visitors' cards that's sitting in the pew in front of you, you can drop that off in the offering plate as it's passed along a little bit later in worship, so we can have just a record of your visit with us. Again, as I said, we do not have any evening activities, but we do have a cover dish meal immediately following worship today. We want everybody to enjoy it. Enjoy that time of fellowship around the table. Please join us immediately following worship for our fellowship meal today. We do also have a wonderful opportunity coming up next weekend here at First Baptist Elon. Next Saturday will be our annual Missions Brunswick Stew. This is a wonderful time of fellowship around the Brunswick Stew pots. You've been hearing about this for a couple weeks. If you have not heard from one of our individuals that are calling and getting our Brunswick Stew orders, you can place an order today. Paula Harrison, raise your hand over there. Jimmy Hughes, where's Jimmy at today? Jimmy's over here. They're kind of coordinating our Brunswick Stew this year. You can speak to one of them today if you have not placed an order. If you want to help, next Saturday is going to be a very busy day, Friday as well, but next Saturday especially will be a busy day. This is a ministry that supports a lot of our missions throughout the year. If you're here during the week, and Gay and I will testify to this, we have multiple people during the week that will come to our church in need of assistance. And one of the big helps that this missions fundraiser does, this helps individuals in our community, people who need the basics, groceries during the week. We had two calls this week of individuals who were going to have power cut off at their home. That a simple $25 deposit will help them keep their power on for families that we are able to help this week. And some of this money goes to help support mission stuff like that. Also, this helps support larger mission projects that we do. So I encourage you to help with the Missions Brunswick Stew. This will help support some of those mission projects. It'll help some of our larger mission projects. So next Saturday will be a big day here at First Baptist Elon for that. Also, you'll notice in your bulletin there are some other things that Janice wanted to make you aware about. She put together a new address book for our congregation. As you leave this morning, you'll find that in the table in the foyer. Pick one of those up. They have the newest addresses for everybody, a new address book for everyone to pick up. We ask that you take one per family. Don't take four for your home, one for each room. Please don't do that. Janice was putting those feverishly together Wednesday and Thursday this week, so pick one of those up as well. Also, you should have received an email this Friday that had the results from the pastor search survey that you completed this summer. Those went out by email on Friday. If you do not receive an email, there are printed copies of that in the vestibule. If you receive that by email, don't pick one of those sheets up. Those are for those individuals who do not receive emails, but you can pick one of those up in the foyer as well. You also will have noticed as you came in, there were some garden pavers out in the vestibule. And I wanted to make this announcement on behalf of Rob Johnson and a group that's working on our memorial prayer garden outside, and wanted to share this announcement with you. We are moving toward completion of the FBC Memorial Prayer Garden outside the sanctuary. In the foyer are the first four engraved pavers for your viewing. Before we begin laying the pavers, it will be helpful to know how many people desire to have one engraved. It will be easier to install engraved pavers at the beginning of the project rather than after stones have been set in place. In the next few weeks, we will present more detailed information, including pricing per stone yet to be determined. Meanwhile, if you believe that you might be interested in honoring or memorializing a person or organization here at First Baptist Elon, please put your contact information on the list in the foyer beside the display. So as you leave this morning, you can look and see what one would look like. And if you're interested in possibly purchasing one to be placed in the memorial garden, you can write your contact information down out there. It'll be out there for a couple weeks, but I encourage you to look at those as you leave this morning just to get some more information about what it looks like. And again, you'll be hearing more information about that in the coming weeks. There are many other announcements in your bulletin. Make sure you look at those. More information coming soon in the coming weeks. As we gather here for worship this morning, we do gather here to read God's word, to pray and lift up God in praise. Our scripture opening scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 10, reading verses 14 through 19. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. As we reflect on these words today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather here in your home, in your church, with your body of believers, with your family, we know your presence has been with us for many, many years. But Father, we know at one point in our lives we have been aliens. We have been separated from you. But we give you thanks that this day we are in your presence. We reside with you. And as we lift words of praise, as we lift this prayer to you, as we read your word, as we reflect on how you move and work, not just within these walls, but in our community and across this world, we know that you are challenging us. We know that we will not leave this place the same way as we came. And Father, we give you thanks for that. Father, move, shift, change us this day. Father, we are amazed about how you mold us, and we give you thanks. Father, we just lift this day to you, this service to you, this opportunity to you. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us singing our hymn of praise, Our God. Stand against.
Langston Lindsay is coming up to sing for us this morning. Langston is a first grader at AO Elementary, and he is 6 years old. So he's going to sing a song called More, More, More.
Eternity. más de ti, Señor. De tu gloria, de tu espíritu. No puedo vivir sin ti, Señor. Cristo más que mi Señor, que ama, oh, más que mi
Thank you, Langston. What a voice. What a voice. Wish I could sing that high. Our offertory hymn this morning is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Pray with me at this time, please. Father in heaven, homecoming day is a reminder for each of us, and also just not just former members, but that former members, current members, members of the future, that First Baptist Church of Elon is truly our church home, a place where we are welcomed, accepted, loved, prayed for, prayed with, and much more. You, Father, are the provider for your endless supply of love and grace, the things that we need most to stay happily united with each other and focused on the needs of others. We praise you and thank you. In a few moments, we will be gathering our tithes and offerings. Help us to be willing givers, always seeking your guidance in the use of these gifts, and with the purpose of bringing you glory and praise, and praying that others will understand your love and know Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
Be seated.
Blessed be the time that mine.
this morning, it is my honor to welcome our guest preacher for this morning, Reverend Jonathan Collins. This is not the first time he has been in our pulpit. Actually, not the first time he's been in our pulpit this year. But it is good to welcome him back to First Baptist Church of Elon. Jonathan is a pastor in West Virginia. He pastors two churches in West Virginia. God bless you. Doing too. And it's good to have him down the road with us. But Jonathan, you'll always be known as Gay's son in this congregation. But he is a man of God, and we look forward to hearing the word that God has placed on your heart this morning. So thank you for being with us this morning. Before we turn the pulpit over to you, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we come to you in a time of confession and in prayer, we are reminded of the vision that you've given us for so many years here at First Baptist Elon, not just the vision you've given our congregation, but each of us individually. And Father, there are many times where we have lost sight of the vision. There are times where we have turned our ears to different directions. Father, where we have fallen short, we come to you this morning and say we are sorry. And Father, we as imperfect individuals recognize there are times where we have to get back on track. Father, we just come to you this day, coming to you where we have fallen short, knowing that you are a perfect God who forgives. And we come to you this day individually and as a congregation, seeking your forgiveness, seeking your wisdom and guidance, and turning to you, asking for you for your direction. Father, not just as a congregation, but as a nation. And we come to you where we have fallen short. We know that we need your direction. As we look across this nation, as we look across this world where we see sin, we see misguidance, we see corruption, we see fallenness, we see hurt, destitution, we see tragedy, we see crisis. Father, we hear you calling. We hear you calling us to go. We hear you calling us to reach out. Father, we hear you. We're ready. Father, we come to you this day looking forward to how you are going to move through Jonathan's words this morning. We lift him up to you, ready to hear how you are going to use his words and challenge us this day. Father, we know you're speaking. We're listening. We're here. We come to you this day, ready to hear, ready to go. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be with you all here once again. As David said, this isn't my first time, hopefully not my last time either. But this morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 17, looking at verses 24 through 29. And I'll be throughout the Gospel of Luke as well, so just thumb mark Luke too, as we walk through this message together this morning. And I don't know if you know, with Norman or David, pastors, we can take pastoral authority over a couple of things. And for me today, that was changing the title of the sermon, which was, what is keeping you from neighboring? Still the question that I ask, but instead this morning, the title is, will you be my neighbor? Will you be my neighbor? And we'll get into that. But reading from Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 29, it reads like this. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of you are, some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. The word of God for the people of God. Glad y'all know that. Not every church does. But in starting this morning with a title like, Will You Be My Neighbor?, I couldn't help but to read to you the opening song from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I'm not going to sing it. You would leave if we did that. But it goes like this. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's cloudy outside right now, though. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? It's a neighborly day in the beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. Let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, might as well say, would you be my? Could you be my? Won't you be my neighbor? Mr. Rogers, if you know anything about that television show, which I'm sure a lot of us have at least watched once, taught generations what it meant to love, to be kind, how to be a neighbor to those around them. And just like him, Jesus himself did the same thing. But along the way, I feel like the church has forgotten how to be neighborly, what it means to be a neighbor, what it means to reach out and see the need of those around us. So, church, I ask you this morning, will you be my neighbor? Some may be quick to say, yes, I'll be a neighbor to those around me, and yet others might say, yeah, I don't know. You don't know who I live around. You don't know the area that I'm in currently. You don't want to be with the people that I'm surrounded by. But I feel like if we're going to be neighborly, there's three things that hinder us from doing this. One, it's value. Do we see the value in reaching out to those around us? Two, it's time. How are we prioritizing our life to be the hands and feet of Jesus for those around us? And three, it's fear. What hinders us from wanting to reach out to those around us? So starting first with value. Do you see the value in being a neighbor? Better yet, are you neighborly with those around you? Because being a neighbor, it traces it back to what David read for us this morning. Deuteronomy 10, 14 through 19. There Moses, he's instructing his people, the nation of Israel, to be hospitable, to be a neighbor, to reach out to those around you, to help the widow, to help the foreigner, to be there for those who don't have anything because you yourself once didn't have anything either. I know this about Hebrew culture. Being hospitable was mandated. It was commanded. And to not do so was punishable by death, to not offer help to those around them. So from the start, God, he's always been about people, and especially about people reaching people. And yet, some still question, why? Why should I reach out to those around me? Well, don't just take Moses' word for it. I'm going to mark that. Take Jesus' word for it, too. Luke 10, verses 25 through 29. Here to kind of summarize a little bit, a lawyer asked Jesus a question. Essentially put, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What he's asking is, Jesus, if you could sum up all of the Old Testament, all the laws into one phrase, one statement, one mission purpose, what would it be? And Jesus would go on to say, verse 26, what is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? Again, he's an expert. He knows the law, and this is what he says. Verse 27, he answered, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. but he wanted to justify himself. Verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus will go into the parable of the Good Samaritan. From there, what this lawyer is doing is, Christ, what can I do to live out everything that the law commands? And simply put, Jesus says, love God, love people. And notice the lawyer's response. Uh-oh. Oh, no. God, I thought you were going to say, you know, give to the church or give of my time or my efforts to do the best that I can and all that I do, but you want me to reach out to those around me. You want me to love you as myself and see the value in others. But Lord, you don't know what these people are like. You don't know what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with. But Jesus tells them, I do. And I want you to see the value in everyone around you. Not just those beside you, but everyone. What Jesus does with this definition of neighbor is he takes it from meaning the people right beside us. And he stretches it to mean everyone that we come into contact with. Anyone that we see is our neighbor. So church, do you see the value in reaching out to those around you yet? But let's get practical for a minute. Because do you know that on average, people who know and have relationships with those around them live longer, healthier, and better lives than those they don't? And statistics show that where you know your neighbor on a first name basis, crime is about 60% less than when areas that you don't. It's two reasons for me right there to want to know the people around me. I want to live a long, healthy life, maybe be here in 71 years. I don't know, I would be 100 almost. That'd be hard. But definitely to feel safe, secure. If you have a piece of paper with you or for a mental exercise, I want you to draw a tic-tac-toe grid in your head. And this comes from a book called The Art of Neighboring. And in it, the author suggests, put your name and your address in the middle of this tic-tac-toe grid. And those eight squares that surround you, can you fill out eight names of eight people that live around you? From there, can you put a statement about who they are, something they've experienced or they lived? And then under that, can you recall relationships and conversations you've had with them? Because on average, what that book suggests is only about 10% of people in a church can do that. Don't know how many we have here, probably 80 to 100. So the odds aren't very good. 10 to 12 people can fill out all eight. Average, it's about 4. I'm dead average with my neighbors. I can fill out 4 of the 8. But for me, growing up playing sports, that means I'm competitive. And I want to fill out those other 4 that are left blank. I want to get to know those around me and see the value in the people that are around me. And please hear me when I say this. We are responsible for the people who are lost around us. I had a college minister once say that we are responsible for this generation of souls. Meaning, are we going to reach out to those around us? Tell others about the goodness of Jesus Christ, the life-saving grace and love that he gives to us. People are valuable. They're precious to God. And yet still, people will question, well, why? Why should I reach out? Why should I grow in this relationship with the Lord? Are you willing to be neighborly? Going back to our text in Acts 17, I want you to really look at verses 26 and 27. Because there, Luke, he says this. Verse 26, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for them to find them, though he is not far from each of us. Essentially, what Luke is saying as he recalls Paul's sermon is this: where God has you, he has you there for a reason. The people around you, the neighborhood, the town, the area, he's going to use you to reach those around you. And when others start searching for God and are asking questions about faith and who this Jesus is, you're there for them to reach out, to grab onto, to hold onto, and to help lead them closer to the Lord. You are valuable to the kingdom of God. Grow where God has planted you. And two, where you are, get to know those around you. Neighbors can fall into one of three categories. They're either a stranger, you have no idea who they are or what they do, they're an acquaintance, you know a little bit about them, but not too much, or they're a friend. You visit and talk and know a lot about them. So where are you on that spectrum? How do you see the neighbors around you? Second barrier is time. And honestly, time, I feel like, is one of the biggest ones we have to overcome. I want you to sit with and wrestle with this for a minute. Do you live at a pace that allows others to live with and around you? Meaning, how busy is your life? What all do you have on your plate? How productive are you each and every day? How quickly do your days fill up? Do your activities, do family, priorities, church, life, events? If we're careful, it's not very hard to throw a full day away and to not make much time for anything else. In fact, studies suggest that on average, the U.S., since the invention of task organizers, I have a planner at the house and I keep track on my phone too with things I need to do. Since the invention of this, what used to take about 46 to 50 hours to accomplish, we've gotten down to about 12. America has become a really productive nation. And if you're like me, you hear this where you have 36, 40 hours of free time now. How do you use that? You might want to go play a round of golf or watch some more TV, catch a good football game. Go Gamecocks, they won yesterday. Barely. Spend time with church, with faith development. Because the reality is, the more free time we have, the more we throw other things into that time and space. And we really don't become any less busy than we were before. But if you know from Genesis, rest is part of creation. It's essential for not only physical but spiritual health. And still we live into these myths that are created in culture that I'll work now so that at some point it'll slow down and I'll have time for myself and my family. And that's a myth because tomorrow isn't promised. Psalm 90, verse 12. Lord, teach me to number my days. We don't know when God's going to call us home. How are you using your time? Another myth. Someday, more will be enough. And it's the idea that if I just get this one thing, then I'll be happy. Then I'll have everything that I need. I'll be fulfilled. And it only drives you crazy because that one thing will lead to another thing and another and another. Third, final myth is everyone lives like this. So I have to do this in order to keep up with culture. No, everyone doesn't. Only us crazy people do. Luke 10, 38 through 42. There's a story about two sisters, Martha and Mary, where according to the text, Martha does everything that's right and commanded of her. Opens up her home for Christ and his disciples to come and eat. She cooks, she cleans, she's waiting hand and foot. And when she sees what her sister's doing, she says, "Jesus, tell Mary to get up and help me. Get up and let's get everything ready." And if you look at that verse and those words, notice who Jesus calls out. It's not Martha. Or it's not Mary, but it's Martha. And it's Martha who shows us this, that when we're in a hurry, we worry about the wrong things, and we can miss out on one of the best things ever. John Ortberg, in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he says this: "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day." And he coins this term, hurried sickness. He says, "The reason why hurry is dangerous is because love and hurry are not compatible. Because to love, that takes you giving effort and time. And time is one thing that hurried people don't have." But notice the posture of Mary. Mary is sitting. She's listening. She's learning from Jesus. And in Hebrew culture, to sit at the feet of a rabbi, of a teacher, showed an intimate relationship between teacher and disciple. But according to Hebrew law, women couldn't be disciples. So Mary was going against the grain. Mary was supposed to be in the kitchen helping Martha cook, clean, get everything ready. And in fact, a woman's worth was really valued in her gift of hospitality and being a good hostess, which Mary wasn't. But Mary understood who was in front of her. She knew that this may be the only time she gets to listen and see Jesus. She took the time to be with him. Know this too, though. In life, there will be seasons where we're busier than other points in time. And that's okay. Growing up, I played sports. Every sport that I could. And my mom made an effort to be at every game. I don't think she missed one. She supported everything that me and my sister did. But you better believe that when it came time for the church doors to be open, kicking, screaming, pulling, we were there at church. Church was a priority for us. And I credit to what I'm doing today, to being here today, having the education that I have, to the value that she put in me at an early age, valuing and prioritizing Jesus and church over anything else that I did. What are your priorities? How are you using the time that God has given to you? Third, final reason is fear. Second to time, fear is probably the biggest barrier that keeps us from reaching those around us. So church, what is the fear that you have in talking to those around you? What is hindering you from being the church to those around you? Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. Here we see that Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman. And in this passage of scripture that deals with this, it's a powerful story. As it goes, Jesus was having dinner with a Pharisee by the name of Simon, who knew Jesus, but he was skeptical. Wanted to see what this Jesus was about, to learn a little bit about him and kind of figure out what he was here for. What was he going to do? And during this time, the eating area for Jewish people, we couldn't do it today with the weather, but they ate out in a courtyard outside the house where anyone walking up and down the street could stop in, see what they were doing, have a conversation, be with them. And this woman, what most scholars suggest, saw Jesus that day and had heard what he was talking about love and grace, and something changed within her. She was moved, and she had to show her appreciation the only way she knew how. And if you read that text in Luke 7, what happens is she comes into this area where they're eating, bows at his feet, and starts to wash his feet with tears from her eyes. Cleans his feet with her hair, takes a bottle of perfume that she had around her neck, and anoints his feet. That was probably the most valuable thing that she had, and she poured it out for him, gave it all for him. In seeing this, Simon, verse 39, he says this. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and that this woman, she's a sinner." Simon knew the woman's reputation and feared what would happen if he were in and caught in association with her. Who are the people in your life that are like that? See, I was taught at an early age, you show people your friends, especially in school, and they'll show you your future. And that's true at a certain age group. Who you're around influences and affects your behavior. But are you around the right people? Are you still reaching out to others who aren't like you, who don't think like you or talk like you or believe the same things that you do? What fear do you have in talking to someone different from you? You see, Jesus senses that Simon is thinking this. And in verse 40, he says this. Jesus answered him. And don't miss that in 39, Simon was thinking this. And Jesus answers. Verse 40. Simon, I have something to tell you. Christ was up to something. Jesus was getting ready to teach him value, time, to not be fearful of the situations around you. And in verse 44, he says this. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But who has been forgiven little loves little." Simon, do you see this woman around you? Do you notice the people around you? Have you noticed the needs of those around you? What excuses are you using for not being the church to those around you? Are you being neighborly? In closing, it's my prayer that you see the value in people. You reach out to them. You get to know them. Get to know their stories and their lives. I pray that you prioritize your life and make time for God to be used by Him to reach those around you. And I pray that fear doesn't hinder you from seeing the need of those around you. And that you're doing all that you can to reach those who have been forgotten, who have not been seen. So First Baptist Elon, will you be my neighbor? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to be here this morning on homecoming. God, and talk about love and what it means to be a neighbor. And God, I pray that as we leave here today, Lord, we see the value in those around us. Father, that as we leave here today, we make time to grow in our love and life with you. And that you start to open our hearts and break our hearts for what breaks yours. And Father, I pray that as we leave here, that the fear we have in reaching out to those around us subsides. And Father, you help us to be your hands and feet. God, I thank you for the history that is First Baptist Elon and the many years of service that they've had for and to you. And Lord, we pray for many, many more. God, I ask that you be with each of us. Fill us with your love and grace always. And it's in the sweet and precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.